So, frequently when we are told that we should be merciful or loving or forgiving or compassionate or generous or gentle, when people say that to me, I kind of want to know what that looks like. What does it look like to be gentle or compassionate or kind? Well, in the first reading today, we have a wonderful example of what it looks like to be merciful. Because here we have Saul looking for David, and David in the camp with Saul sleeping. David has a wonderful opportunity to solve the problem, to change his life forever, and to fix what's wrong, Saul hunting David. And David chooses not to do that. I will not harm the anointed one. A powerful act of mercy that echoes down to the ages. Because part of what's happening here is David wants to show Saul not only what mercy looks like, but also what he would like to have happen to him. Stop hunting me, Saul. I'm not the enemy. The message. So now we have Jesus Christ saying, do unto others as you would have do unto you, plus. Because every faith path that you can imagine, has some iteration of that statement. Do unto others as you would have done to you. Somehow that comes out in the faith path. And then he says, who wouldn't want that? And then he says, there's more to it than that. You need to step beyond it. And I will show you what it looks like. It looks like touching those who are marginalized. Breaking through the taboo that says you can't do that, or you can't say that, or you can't be there. Because Jesus said those things and did those things and went there. With compassion and gentleness and intentionality, showing the disciples and those people who were following him, this is what it looks like if you're going to follow me. If you're going to love me as the Father loves me and as I love the Father and as I love you, this is what it looks like. Moving out of your comfort zone, moving into places that you can't imagine yourself being, and loving. Being merciful, being kind, being gentle, lifting people up. That's what it looks like. And then, if you want to continue to follow me and grow in my love and my Father's love, this is what you have to do. You have to go to the garden and you have to say, Father, not my will, but yours. We have to, if we are going to follow Jesus Christ, turn our will over to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because it's a package deal. When God comes into our life and we say yes, it means that. One of the hardest things that I do on any given day is trust God. Because I know if God would just listen to me, things would be so much better. Not true, Father, not true. Do unto others. Do unto others as Jesus would have us do. That's the message. Move beyond the norm. Move beyond what we want to do into places and doing things that we can't do without God's help, without God's power, without God working through us. What does it look like? It looks like people doing ministry. It looks like people praying together as a community. It looks like things changing a little bit at a time. This past weekend, I was in a place called Bloomington, Indiana, and I was doing a retreat for five couples who have been meeting together for 18 years, And once a year they have a retreat, and for some bizarre reason they keep asking me to come back. And they wanted to talk about community this year. And so we started talking about community by talking about each individual in the group. Because that's where community starts. It starts with us. And if we are okay and secure and loving of ourselves, and we take that to our partners, we take that to the community, then the community can change. And the world can change because the community can do the changing. Is it an easy task? Is it a short task? Absolutely not. None of us will live to see the changes that we want to see happen, but we can start them in our compassion, in our generosity, in our love. Each of us, as individuals, coming together to create a community which gives us power, the power of God's love and presence in our lives. That's how it happens. That's how change occurs. Pope Francis and the bishops, some of the bishops are meeting in Rome. As they continue to meet, things continue to unfold. It's unnerving. It's challenging. I will say to you what I have said before, that the Holy Spirit, through Scripture and through the sacraments, is present in our lives and present in our church, and those are the important parts that we want to hold on to. The men and women who have brought disgrace and shame and dishonor to our church, there is justice for them, and there will be. It may not be our justice, but it will be God's justice. That's not what we need to worry about. What we need to worry about is what's going on in our own hearts and minds, our own ministries, our own community, in terms of how we love one another, how we forgive one another, how we are with one another. Those are the things that are important. Through the sacramental presence of the Godhead that leads us, we will get through all of the challenges that will be thrown at us. Gently, intentionally, one of my favorite words, through all time. God will win the battle. Good will win the battle. Because each of us, as we commit our lives to God, commit to winning that battle. Sometimes it's on a daily basis. Sometimes it's on an hourly basis. But if we do it, God, who is always present in our lives, will support us and lift us up. Show us mercy, always. Show us His love and His presence, always, in our lives. Do unto others as Jesus Christ has shown us to do.